W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by General Steel.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. There's snow falling on many of the lower 48 states, from the Dakotas to Maine, but especially so on Minnesota. From Minneapolis, CBS News correspondent Christina Ruffini.
Some residents went running. Others sprinted to the grocery store to stock up on supplies. Ryan Bradley went to church, getting his Ash Wednesday blessing in before the city shuts down.
I did make it to Mass.
And a few skeptics don't quite believe the hype.
I mean, it's Minnesota. What do you expect?
In Central Florida, investigators are looking for a motive and try to make sense of a series of gun deaths. His correspondent, Matt Piper.
There were three separate shootings in the Orlando area, all police say involving one suspect who's been arrested. Three people were killed. The first shooting was around 11 a.m. Then Sheriff John Mina says the suspect shot members of the media sitting in a car.
They are a News 13 reporter and photographer. And tragically, one of the News 13 employees has passed.
A nine-year-old girl was also killed.
Her mother was wounded. The discovery of a gun at an elementary school in Rising Star, Texas has led to the resignation of a school superintendent.
The gun found in an elementary school bathroom by a third grader belonged to the superintendent. Robbie Studeville says he accidentally left it in a stall after using the restroom. The teacher of the third grader has also come under attack. After being informed of the discovery, she ordered the young boy and another student to confirm that it was a gun.
The superintendent says he armed himself because of shootings at other schools, just ahead of the first anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Russia! In Moscow, President Vladimir Putin rallied a large flag-waving crowd, praising the courageous Russian soldiers, but making no mention of mounting casualties. Putin also held talks with China's top envoy, Wang Yi. U.S. officials voiced concern this week the Chinese could supply lethal military aid to the Russian army.
Correspondent at O'Keefe, President Biden is now back in Washington after his wartime visit to Ukraine. There's been another cycle of attack and counterattack in the Middle East, where Israeli forces have conducted strikes in the Gaza Strip. Israel says that follows Palestinian attacks fired from the area, and that followed clashes in which 11 Palestinians were killed and over 100 hurt. And taking a look now at a recommendation from the Pentagon, which wants troops to watch what they eat.
The Pentagon says natural poppy seeds could be contaminated with morphine and codeine. So it says eating them could undermine the military's ability to identify actual illicit drug use.
That's correspondent Monica Ricks. After a mixed midweek in Wall Street, Asian and Pacific markets are mixed. This is CBS News.
Business owners, General Steel can help save you thousands by owning your own custom-designed buildings. Call 8...
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on
and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, it is the spring primary hangover hump day edition. How you doing, brother?
I am fantastic, Crudy. Great to be with you. Evan working the board for our fair audience. Appreciate being here, man.
All I can say on behalf of this fine product, Devil's Advocates Radio Show, and the larger Civic Media Network is, you're welcome. Wisconsin.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, baby. I'm feeling good today. I got to tell you, I'm feeling good about the outcome of the spring primary last night. Buddy, this was historic, numerically historic record turnout. I'd like to think we helped do that.
Yeah, well, you know it, man. Crudy, I did crunched a few numbers. I didn't see any specific percentage, but I did see some reporting. I think it was a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. 950,000 votes cast. I went back and looked at some numbers. I think according to my source, I think we have about, according to the electionproject.org, about 4.4 million eligible voters here in the state of Wisconsin. And my math says 21.6% turnout.
That would be, sadly, excellent for a spring primary.
Yeah, baby.
Dominic, that is roughly a 35% increase over the old record, which was the 2020 spring primary held in concurrence with a presidential primary, if you'll recall.
Yeah, right. That's amazing.
Well, I would point out, though, the pandemic dampened the enthusiasm. I mean, it was over by Super Tuesday. Effectively, the dim field had dropped out, except for Bernie. And Bernie Sanders dropped out before they actually counted the votes in the state of Wisconsin. So it might have been something, a skosh of a turnout mechanism for the state. Here is how Dan Bice reports it. Going to jump down in the body of Dan's five takeaways from the spring primary, Dom. Tuesday set a record for a spring primary election in Wisconsin. Boy, do we like to vote in Wisconsin, says Bice. More than 950,000 state residents cast their ballots on Tuesday, despite the small number of contested races. That's a 35% increase over the old record.
Whew.
Our buddy Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll, tweeted this out. Wisconsin Supreme Court primary turnout is smashing past records. A little bit more. The record for turnout in a nonpartisan primary had been in 2020, when 705,138 state residents voted in a three-way, Dom, three-way primary for a seat on the Supreme Court. And Dom, I would remind the audience, and Dan Bice does as well. I'll read Dan's part, and then I'll remind you of a couple things. A quick reminder, says Dan, Kelly won the primary that year with more than 50% of the vote. Dan Kelly also a primary winner the last time. Well, this time just a winner for his team. Not so much a winner. Less than a winner, I would say. But now Justice Jill Karofsky defeated Kelly, as Spice generously describes it, handed Kelly his ass, beat the incumbent by more than double digits in the spring general election. Democratic turnout was boosted by the spring presidential primary that year. Ish. A little bit, Dom. Want to jump back one, though. Want to start from the top, if you would. A record number, as we've talked about, turned out for the state Supreme Court primary. And in the end, Dom, in case anyone's been under a rock hiding from the snow, it's a snow day. My kids got the day off again, snow day. In the end, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz. And did I mention, Dom, she's taking a little victory tour. Little lap. Starting with the Devil's Advocates at 4:30 today.
Judge Janet coming out at 4:30. Well done.
Yes, we appreciate the rapid response of their team. We asked, they said yes. She will join us in like 19 minutes. But in the end, Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz, a liberal, finished first with a commanding 46.4% of the vote, while former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, the conservative, Dom, the real conservative, he took second with 24.2%. And I've seen the math. If you add them up, take the celebrity Judge Doro from Waukesha County, and you add up the Dan Kelly vote, she still beats them both. The combined total.
So the combined total of a conservative Dan Kelly and conservative
Doro.
Doro.
You don't have to remember her name anymore.
Those two numbers combined do not beat Janet Protasiewicz's numbers alone, not including throwing on Everett Mitchell's number.
That's correct. She modestly beats the combined total of the two conservatives by about 4,000 votes. But then you take Mitchell. Mitchell got 7% of the vote. I mean, that starts to become a commanding and a substantial lead. Effectively, Dom, it'd be like 53-46. Dems over Republicans, if you use the combined totals of Protasiewicz and the distant finisher, Everett Mitchell, at 7%. And then you took the two combined conservatives, the Region College grads, the alumni, Dom. You roll them together.
The Christian Broadcasting School of Law alumni.
And they still didn't beat her, cumulatively.
Yeah.
I would call this a very good night for the Democratic Party, Dom.
A great night. Crudy also, Dan Nodal, I believe it is, he wins the Republican primary for the 8th Senate District seat. He beat your girl, Janelle Brangen, fairly handedly. And, of course, Jody Habish-Sinikin, the Dem, rolling through. That's still going to be a battle, but hopefully some energized turnout for the Wisconsin Supreme Court race will also help Jody.
Dom will bring you continued coverage, you, the audience, and Dom, he'll learn some things today right along with you. Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet, joins us at 4:30. But Jennifer Rubin, she's got an opinion piece over at the Washington Post. I share her opinion in this regard. She's damn right on the money, Dom. Wisconsin Supreme Court primary signals the Democrats' strength. If I was a betting dude, I'd be doubling down today on Judge Janet Protasiewicz, on the Democrats' chances. You know, the Democratic-supported team is Janet Protasiewicz, effectively. Now, I know she's not a declared Dem, but she's been a lot less coy than most judicial candidates have been. Can't wait to take a stab at her, Dom. Take a couple questions at the victorious. I mean, she crushed her opposition. The second-place guy is still back there, like miles back.
Right, not quite doubled, but almost doubled the second place guy.
A liberal Wisconsin Judge Jana Protasiewicz simply trounced her competition in the primary election for the state Supreme Court on Tuesday. In the four-way race between Protasiewicz, conservative judges Kelly and Doro, and liberal judge Everett Mitchell, Protasiewicz won roughly 46% of the vote. That was roughly as many votes as received by Kelly and Doro combined. Protasiewicz will now move forward in the April 4th general election to face Kelly. He's already been a loser. Once a loser, always a loser. Who narrowly defeated Doro. You're welcome. Dan, I'd like to think we did our part.
I blame you, Crudy.
If Protasiewicz wins, she will flip the seat of retiring conservative justice, thereby shifting the state court's ideological balance. The royal we, Don, we would regain control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the soul of our state. That will be crucial not only to protect abortion rights in Wisconsin, but also a number of key issues, including the GOP's hyper-partisan gerrymander of the state's legislative map. I care a lot about that, Dom. Here's a quote from Protasiewicz. I'm honored that the people of Wisconsin have chosen me as one of the candidates to continue on from this primary. And not just that, but I'm proud that we earned more votes than any other candidate today. Yeah, you lapped the field damn near. Although she reiterated that she could not promise how she would vote as a justice, she left little doubt about her values. I value a woman's freedom to make her own reproductive health care decisions with her doctor, family, and faith. On partisan gerrymandering, she declared, again a quote, Tom, I also value our democracy and believe every Wisconsinite deserves to be fairly represented. Your vote matters. And our Constitution guarantees the right to vote and to have a representative democracy in this country. I concur.
A little bit more here. Crudy, Ben Wickler, the Democratic State Party Chair, told Rubin in a brief phone interview on Tuesday that Protasiewicz's performance soars beyond all expectations. According to a Democratic official, here we go, turnout was 21% of the voting age population. Given the competitive race between right-wing candidates, GOP turnout should have exceeded turnout for Protasiewicz. That did not happen. Protasiewicz also won areas of the state that are normally heavily Republican. The reality is that abortion is so profoundly personal that it resonates across party lines. Campaign spending during the primary has already put on track the most expensive state Supreme Court election in history, with redistricting, abortion, voting rights, and virtually every other hot-button issue at stake. Expect to see even more money flood into the state. Of those issues, Crudy, abortion is clearly the issue driving Democrats' momentum. More than 60% of voters in the state want to see it legal in all or most circumstances. Given that pro-life forces won every abortion-related referendum last year, Democrats remain optimistic that the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights will continue to fuel Democratic anger and political engagement. No single issue, and certainly no U.S. Supreme Court decision in recent memory, has so catalyzed the Democratic base while attracting support from independents and even Republicans. Even in purple Wisconsin, where a victory by a few points amounts to a landslide, protecting women's autonomy seems to have become a unifying issue. Jennifer Rubin reporting at the Washington Post.
Didn't take till after midnight. Jana Protasiewicz, our soon-to-be guest, she was declaring victory by like 9:30, Dom. I like an early election return evening. Come back, more devil's advocates.
Yeah, yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday. Sparkling thoughts, give me the hope to go on.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost.
So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. A winter storm warning continues until noon today. Overcast skies overnight with a mix of sleet and freezing rain possible at times. Lows around 28. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely again tomorrow, 34. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow with another dusting Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you stick around. Judge Janet Protasiewicz, the victorious judge from last night's primary, going to join us at 4:30.
Dominic, I met with the CEO of Civic Media, Sage Weil, earlier today. He decided for Lent we were going to forego the political ads on the country stations. If you're in it for the music, Dom, we're going to spare you the political dark money spending. But if you listen to the talk stations like this fine station you're listening right now to, you're getting the full double dose barrel, Dom. Bring it, baby. And during the, let's call it the primaries, Dom, you've heard the ads run out here for Dan Kelly. Fair Courts America, the U-Line funded dark money group. Well, I guess we know who's funding it. It's the U-Lines, the billionaire couple from Illinois. They fund many lost causes. I suspect they're well on their way to funding another lost cause. I, of course, Tom, look at his history, Dan Kelly's history, as being a big loser. The last time he ran, lost by 163,000 votes, despite the fact he won the primary against a divided liberal field. But it ain't a divided field. The Dems, Tom, they've got their candidate. And I would say the animus between the two primary opponents, both Regent College grads, you think these fine alumni of the Pat Robertson Law School would be able to put it behind them, Dom.
They could, you know, meet together in prayer and put aside their petty differences.
But not only would the early primary turnout, this record-setting turnout in the state of Wisconsin, not only should it encourage Democrats, at least if you and your friends and everyone you know carry forth and vote again on April 4th, you're not done yet. Still going to vote in the general. But it's already looking good. But this Dan Kelly, not only is he a loser, Dom, he was what, the lawyer that proposed or at least laid out the legal principles of committing fraud in the state of Wisconsin? Is it possible a Supreme Court candidate, and I mean this in all sincerity, could be charged for a crime? Effectively seditious conspiracy against the United States of America. The $120,000 this candidate allegedly took Dan Kelly from not just the Republican Party of Wisconsin, but also the RNC to effectively offer legal counsel. In the wide Sage counsel, he and Andrew Pitt, who was the Republican Party chair, is now a partner at Michael Best and Friedrich, is a lawyer in his own regard, but the legal plan that they came up with? Fraudulent Trump electors. I would assert criminally fraudulent Trump electors. And Dan Kelly, apparently, you know, being a Wisconsin guy and all, Dom, he's the one Andrew Hitt brought in. And oh yeah, he just won second place in the primary. So he's your guy, conservatives?
I would
enjoy him.
I would certainly love to hear what kind of sage advice Mr. Kelly provided to the RNC and the Wisconsin Republican Party. I mean, really, 120,000, and then he gets all upset about Protasiewicz, you know, being liberal. A little bit here from the Dan Bice, and we'll put a bow on it with this. His five takeaways. This is one of them. Voters shouldn't have any doubts about what they're getting in the general election. From the first candidate forum, Protasiewicz was not bashful about her political values, as she called them in particular. She says she believes in abortion rights and considers the election maps rigged. I know from going around the state what people care about, Protasiewicz said Tuesday night. People are extremely concerned about women's reproductive rights and are extremely concerned about the 2024 presidential election and whether or not there's going to come to our Supreme Court chamber. They're extraordinarily concerned that they don't believe our Supreme Court is working. Kelly has been highly critical of Protasiewicz, saying that she will put her thumb on the scale of justice and will replace the rule of law with the rule of Janet. Because he can't say her last name. But Kelly's supporters have played up the fact that he's a conservative who voted to end the state's coronavirus lockdown imposed by Governor Evers. What's more, as Crudy mentioned, it emerged in recent days Kelly was paid $120,000 over the last 2 years by the state Republican Party and the Republican National Committee to advise them on quote-unquote election integrity issues and the failed plan to set up a slate of fake, I would say fraudulent, presidential electors in 2020. And you know what I have not heard, Crudy, at all from any of the Republicans? Dan Kelly, Robin Voss, Gableman?
What's that, Tom?
How was the election yesterday? Was it free? Was it fair? Was it accurate? Did Dan Kelly have any concerns about election integrity issues when he beat off his conservative opponent, Doral? I didn't hear anything about that. Then what has specifically changed? Nothing. The whole thing was a scam. So, all right, Kelly, you got to explain it now. You're the guy. You want to be Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice again? Well, instead of being appointed, you got to earn it. And they can't pay you the money. What did you say? What information did you provide? What legal services did you recommend? I'm really curious to know how deep Dan Kelly is in this entire sordid affair.
Eyeballs deep. Very deep, Dom. Absolutely deep. Dan Kelly is deep. And I would say that's a strange way of describing him, you know, this retainer of $120,000 apparently, as a coup plotter, right? He was in on the plotting of a coup against the Constitution of the United States, the peaceful secession, the transfer of power, per the will of the voters and the Electoral College system that carried Donald Trump to the presidency despite the fact that he lost the popular vote in 2016, if you'll recall. Dan Kelly, elections advisor.
Election integrity issues, yes. He's the advisor for the RNC and the Wisconsin GOP. And we see how that turned out. So what, they paid him to quote-unquote advise. Voss set up this Gableman investigation, spent millions of dollars. All for what? For what? To try to overturn the will of the people. That is what you tried to do. You lost an election, and you tried to overturn the will of the people, and now you want to run for election again using the same system, but no problems this time because you won. Right, Kelly?
Dominic, if you'll recall, the Wisconsin Supreme Court only voted to uphold the will of the people of the state of Wisconsin by a 4-3 vote. If Dan Kelly was on the court at that time, how do you think it would have turned out? Come back, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She's the winner. You're all winners just for listening. Come back, more Devils.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Snow, and more snow from Maine to the Dakotas. Lots of it in Minnesota.
Come on, you have to like the snow because then you can have fun and stuff. Yeah. Because you can go deep in the snow, make forts and stuff.
Orange County, Florida, investigators near Orlando are holding a single suspect in the shooting deaths of three people in separate incidents, including a child and a TV news reporter.
Right now, we're unclear as to why he shot them in that house. Really unclear as to why he shot at the news vehicle as well.
Sheriff John Minor. President Biden back at the White House after a trip to Ukraine and Poland, reacting to Vladimir Putin's announcement that Russia's suspending participation in the last nuclear weapon treaty still in effect.
Big mistake to do that. Not very responsible. But I don't read into that that he's thinking of using nuclear weapons or anything like that.
That on ABC. CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Chris Jakimic. I served in the United States Air Force, and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA. It is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Try to be best, 'cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to do.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the day after the spring primary in the great state of Wisconsin. We've got the victorious candidate in the Supreme Court race. Doesn't mean she's got a seat yet, but she did win the primary very effectively. She is Judge Janet Protasiewicz. As soon as I get it there, Janet, welcome to the show.
Hey, Judge.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, and you pronounce that name perfectly.
A lot of practice.
I've been in training, Judge, because I butcher names, but I learned yours early on. I actually had the opportunity to meet you briefly at the Democratic Party convention, and you were being introduced around by current Justice Rebecca Dallet. And I got to tell you, I saw a nice picture of you last night. I assumed it was from the Victory Party. I saw Rebecca Dallet, Jill Karofsky, and Walsh Bradley, and you standing there. And I'm thinking that'd make a hell of a court. Judge, first and foremost, congratulations, but it must have felt good last night, almost unexpectedly good.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, we were taking nothing for granted and working very hard up until the time the polls closed yesterday, actually. And I was very, very hopeful for a good showing. But that showing, quite frankly, was beyond my wildest expectations. I was absolutely, absolutely thrilled and surprised.
Judge, record turnout for a spring primary in the state of Wisconsin blew through the prior record by about 35%. And if we look at your vote tally, you beat both of your conservative opponent combined. And if we look at you and Everett Mitchell, the other liberal quote-unquote candidate in this race, it was like 53-46. It seems very clear to me, Judge Janet, that people want to come out and express their concerns and support your candidacy. And I think a big part of that is perhaps the overturning of Roe v. Wade. That was the weekend of the Democratic Party convention. And obviously, Tony Evers made his now famous speech from the landing of the La Crosse Center. And I've got to ask you, how much do you think women's rights, and you're very clear, you haven't been coy like some judicial candidates, you've been clear, you believe in women's reproductive rights, how important is that to your candidacy and your success last night?
I think it's important. And I, you know, I don't have real hard data, but, you know, friends of mine were texting me and saying, you know, I'm in line at, you know, a polling place and it's, you know, like 75% female. I don't know, you know, how the turnout actually is going to break down gender-wise, but I know that women are very concerned and very upset about the overturning of Roe. But I also know that when I am out campaigning, and I'm campaigning across the entire state all the time, people are extraordinarily concerned about the maps and the gerrymandering. And, you know, that is an issue that, you know, I think people are equally concerned about. And then, you know, I think it all dovetails into the fact that people are concerned about our Supreme Court as an institution, quite frankly, and they don't feel as though it's independent. They don't feel as though it's fair. And what they point out to me over and over in that regard is how the presidential election of 2020 came before the Supreme Court chamber and how close the results of Wisconsin's presidential race were to being overturned. And I think you put everything together and people just want change. They want normal. They want to get away from the extreme partisanship. They want to feel like they have a Supreme Court that's going to be independent and follow the law. And they just want that change. They want that integrity back on their Supreme Court.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That is Judge Janet Protasiewicz, the victorious judge from last night's primary. Judge, thank you for joining us. I know that your now opponent, Republican or conservative Dan Kelly, was critical of you, saying you're going to put your thumb on the scale of justice and talking about rule of Janet. But it's been reported now, Judge, that Kelly himself was basically on the payroll of the RNC and the Wisconsin Republican Party to advise on election integrity issues and this false slate of elector plan. And talk about the extreme partisanship and the credibility of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Judge, I want to give you an opportunity to rebut the criticisms of Kelly, given his very obvious partisanship leanings himself.
Well, they are obviously partisan, and they're trumped up to, you know, try to attack me for, you know, reasons that I shouldn't even be attacked. I mean, the bottom line is I have been extremely clear with everybody about what my values are. And I think that the electorate has a right to know what people's values are. Then you've got Dan Kelly, you know, he'll do a forum and basically say he has no position on, you know, the 1849 abortion ban. But then I take a look at the website for Wisconsin Right to Life, and they indicate that they've endorsed him because he's pledged to basically, you know, uphold the ban. So, you know, I find him disingenuous. I find him untruthful. You know, I look at the money that he's earned from the Republican Party. I look at the fact that he has toured the state. And when I say with of all people, I mean with of all people, touring the state with Michael Gableman on his quote unquote election integrity tour. And, you know, I think it takes a lot for somebody who's got the partisan ties that he has to point a finger, quite frankly.
Judge, obviously the historic record turnout, want to keep that kind of momentum going. I want to get your sense. Judge Everett Mitchell, a very quality human being himself, came in, you know, obviously in last at like 7%. But what is your plan to engage the African American community, our brown brothers and sisters and minorities out there in this? Obviously, feeling kind of underrepresented sometimes. What's your outreach plan for those folks?
We plan to reach out to absolutely every single person who lives in the state of Wisconsin and every underrepresented community. You know, I have worked very, very hard in my career. I've worked very hard in my personal life to reach out to underrepresented communities. You know, that's why I do volunteer work with the Red Cross of Southeastern Wisconsin, you know, putting smoke detectors in people's homes, in neighborhoods where maybe people wouldn't otherwise have them. Work very, very hard to run a courtroom that is fair and treats everybody very well. And, you know, we have significant African-American support of this race. And, you know, I hope we will continue to have more. I have not yet had the opportunity to speak with Judge Mitchell. I look forward to speaking with him. I had a nice time with him as we, you know, campaigned across the state this summer. I hope that he will endorse the campaign. But, you know, we are reaching out to every single person, every single community across this entire state.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz, our fine guest. Judge Protasiewicz, Dan Kelly, your soon-to-be opponent in the general election, recently, it's reported, implied he would attract dark money to the race and Jennifer Doerle would be incapable of matching the dark money he would attract. And I've watched during the course of the primary election, and his fundraising has been dwarfed by the outside dark money expenditure by Fair Courts America, which is effectively a front for Dick and Liz Uihlein, billionaire conservatives from across the border. So let me ask you, do you have any qualms with the sort of friendly and close relationship that Dan Kelly implies he has with this supposed independent third-party group that so clearly is running his shadow campaign at this point?
Yeah, of course I have qualms about it. And, you know, it all goes back to the Citizens United case where the outside money is allowed in these races. You know, we have worked very, very hard to fundraise and bring our own money from people who believe in, you know, what this campaign is all about, you know, into our campaign coffers so that we can communicate with voters across the state. You know, we have dwarfed the fundraising efforts of Dan Kelly, and to have him just be able to, you know, look toward that type of outside money, those type of outside expenditures, those types of dark money to fund his campaign, it seems to me patently unfair.
Now, Judge Janet, we understand that you now have the endorsement and support of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin. And the way the campaign finance laws are established here, effectively the parties become conduits of contributions that are then turned around and handed off to candidates, perhaps like yourself. Judge, have you been in contact with the party at this point? And what is sort of the joint plan between you and the Democrats, if I may ask?
I had brief contact with Ben Wickler at my election party last night in Milwaukee. And he advised me that the Democratic Party is going to be transferring a substantial sum of money to our campaign coffers. Nothing like what Dan Kelly is receiving, but a substantial amount of money. And, you know, I don't have any qualms about that. You know, Dan Kelly's been endorsed by the Republican Party of the state of Wisconsin. We've been endorsed by the Democratic Party, but we've also been endorsed by, you know, people across this entire state, you know, well over 1,000 endorsements before we even, you know, got the endorsement of, you know, the Democratic Party. So I am delighted to have the Democratic Party on board. Absolutely delighted. And, you know, any other, you know, I have not yet had any other coordination except for that conversation with Ben last night.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest. She is the victorious, at least in the primary, Supreme Court candidate, Judge Janet Protasiewicz. Janet is supported by the Democratic Party, as she just acknowledged. And Janet, I heard you recently on one of our colleagues' show, Up North News with Pat Kraitlow. And I remember Pat asked you something about the two conservatives in the primary. Now we're down to just Dan Kelly. But ironically, both Kelly and Doral went to the same Pat Robertson School of Law. I think they call it Regent College School of Law, something of the fact. And you giggled a bit when you talked about their law school. That is not really perceived to be one of your upper echelon law schools. In fact, my understanding is only like 40% of the graduates pass the bar exam for lawyers on their first crack. Not trying to be an elitist or encouraging you to be, Janet, but anything to say about Dan Kelly's alma mater?
Well, I would just say this. I don't even know that that school was accredited when he went there, which is what I think kind of made me laugh. And I thought it was a strange coincidence that both of my opponents would have come out of that, you know, same law school of that caliber and that reputation. So, you know, that surprised me.
Do you think it shapes his candidacy? I think we've learned that at that then called, when he enrolled, it was the Christian Broadcasting Network School of Law, but they did like 15 minutes of prayer, and I consider myself a Christian judge, but I didn't pray before each and every class, and certainly I wouldn't see that an appropriate use of my time if I was in law school, but apparently that's how they do it there. Judge, again, I would ask if there's any comment towards their sort of academic regime and their incorporation of prayer in the class.
I don't really have a comment on that. You know, I'm a church-going person myself. I went to those Catholic grade schools where, you know, we prayed every day and, you know, we went to Mass every morning. So I certainly don't have any comment as to that. My comment goes more toward, you know, the quality of the school.
I understand.
Judge, just 90 seconds left. Again, congratulations on the primary victory. A sprint now until April. If people want to find out more about your campaign, about your philosophy, where can they go to do so? And give them the last minute pitch, the elevator pitch, if we would, please, Judge.
Oh, thank you. They can absolutely take a look at janetforjustice.com. Again, janetforjustice.com. And, you know, I would tell everybody, I can assure you that I will be a fair and impartial and independent justice. And that's what we need. You know, we have just spent the last decade and a half with, you know, being exposed to, you know, extreme partisanship on our state Supreme Court. And it's time for a change. It's time to bring common sense back. It's time to, you know, get back to being independent and having decisions that are absolutely rooted in the law. And from my traveling across the state, and I'll tell you this, I'm traveling across the state virtually every moment that, you know, I'm not at work. And we are in situations where we are going into venues and they are packed because people care so deeply about this state. They care so deeply about what they perceive to be wrong with our current Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Judge Janet Protasiewicz, thank you so much for your appearance. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Good luck. We're all counting on you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like, I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm warning continues until noon today. Cloudy overnight with a mix of sleet and freezing rain possible at times. Lows around 28. East winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Highs level off around 34. Tomorrow, chance for mixed precipitation. About an inch of snow overnight through tomorrow with another dusting Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, we'll invite Dan Kelly on soon. In fact, I've delegated that responsibility to you, have I not?
Hey, Dan Kelly. Crudy wants you to come on the radio. There you go. I'm done.
You're invited, Dan. 844-967-2789. We are already in the general election window.
Which means what to people that don't know radio?
That means we will also invite Dan Kelly on, because this is about the only thing that still has any sort of sway over radio and politics. It's effectively equal time. If you invite one candidate on, you should invite another candidate on. Although I would defend our position in inviting Janet Protasiewicz. She was the winner. And Dan Kelly, you're a distant second. So sometime in the somewhat foreseeable but perhaps distant future, I will invite you on a big show, because Dom apparently...
I just did. No, I'd be very, very interested to know what kind of advice he provided for $120,000 over the course of the last 2 years as he was, you know, commiserating with insurrectionist bastards. I'd really like to know.
Well, he will also be invited on this fine program. And if he's willing to appear, we'll be somewhat respectful. You know, we won't swear at him.
Well, I'm not going to guarantee that.
The FCC says you won't, Dom.
I can only not say certain swear words. Other swear words I can say.
Sort of the fringe, easy, damn, ass.
Hell.
Those kind of. You're okay with those.
Okay, good.
844-967-2789. Cassandra, welcome back, Cassandra. What do you got for us?
Hi, Cassandra.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I would have loved to have questioned Judge Janet, and I was a Mitchell supporter. And one question that I have for her, and hopefully she is listening or her campaign people are listening, and that is, in terms of her clerks on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, will there be diversity? One of the problems why many African Americans are not advancing to the Supreme Court is because they're not being appointed as the clerks, and they're not getting that experience on their resumes to sit on the bench. So, number one, I'd like to know if she's going to appoint African Americans as her clerks. And number two, I will have to say this: I was just not pleased with the way the campaign was run. Now, if I can recall correctly, to be fair to her, she did not make any derogatory comments against Mr. Mitchell. It was many of the outside groups. But he was going to lose based upon the politics of Wisconsin. For whatever reason, Wisconsin is not ready to elect a person of color, especially an African American statewide. So he was most likely going to lose. Did he have to be publicly humiliated? That really leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and it makes me reluctant to truly go and vote for her. So you white liberals out there, you all are, you know, you're sipping your champagne and you're having parties, but many in the African-American community do not like the way this battle was won.
And you're talking specifically, Cassandra, about the column where Daniel Bice basically dragged Everett Mitchell, relitigated some divorce proceedings where he was before a judge. An allegation of sexual assault was made against him by his ex-wife, and the judge ultimately ruled that Everett should have full custody of the child, which would seem to diminish the perceived credibility of the allegation by the judge. But it was put in the paper. And I can tell you, Cassandra, my friend Earl Ingram, one of the fine hosts here on the Civic Media Network, and I were having conversations in real time. And I don't know Janet Protasiewicz. That is the first time we've ever interviewed her. But I've had Everett Mitchell on a couple times. I really respect the guy. I really admire the guy. I like his plain spokenness, his candor. I liked a lot of things about him. And I can tell you, Earl and I were both talking about this candidate. Like, you know, not that we want to put our thumbs on the scale, but does Everett have a chance? And then the Daniel Bice piece dropped. And I think we both arrived at the conclusion, no, he does not have a chance. Not with that sort of perceived baggage. There's no way he's going to win a liberal primary, quote unquote. So, Cassandra, I can understand your frustration. I have been assured, because I said something on the air, and you know I did. And I have been assured by people that know Janet Protasiewicz that she would never have condoned the release of that information about her opponent. So the candidate, I believe the source and the people that know her well say she would have never gone for that. But it didn't have to be a direct agent of her campaign. There were plenty of, I mean, there's plenty of political operatives in the state, Cassandra. There are plenty of people that if they came upon information and they had a preferred candidate in the race, they thought Protasiewicz was the Democrats' better choice. Well, somebody fed that story to Daniel Bice. But everyone that's spoken to me has defended Protasiewicz to me and said it wasn't her. And you didn't hear me ask the question because I believe that it would not have been at her condonement.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying, but it is leaving a bad taste in the
American. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cassandra, what's the alternative, though? I mean, it's not voting, I would guess. It's not going to be voting for Dan Kelly, right?
No, I would not pull the lever for him. But there is just frustrating mounting in the African-American community that we are not getting representation on that Supreme Court. It is filled with white females, and I know many white females don't like to hear that. There's just too many of them, and we need diversity on the court. That's all I have to say. I'll hang up and listen, because I know there are other callers who want to get on.
Cassandra, appreciate your call, and thank you for listening. I believe Lewis Butler was the first elected Wisconsin Supreme Court, black Supreme Court justice. Anyone that knows the history of that 2008 race against Gableman, Gableman played the race card. Gableman was completely unethical in his attacks of Butler. And Gableman never paid a price for that. He won a 10-year term. The only one, once you're on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, able to challenge the ethics of anyone elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court is the panel of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And they effectively said, well, you know, whatever. He won. He gets to rule upon himself. So he was never held accountable. We have had a statewide black representative on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Mandela Barnes did win statewide office in the state of Wisconsin. I know he was on the ticket with Tony Evers, But I would suggest he might have been the more appealing part of that ticket to many of those that pulled the lever for the Dems back in 18. Come back. More Devils. More of your phone calls. The Happier Happy Hour is next.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.